Welcome to the podcast, Design Your Success, the podcast where human design and business meet. Every week, I will drop a new episode with an inspiring guest who shares his or her story about their business and how human design has fit in and how it has made a change for them. My name is Nicolena Huizinga. I am your host and I am a business mentor and human design coach. Have fun listening. Hey, you guys, welcome to another episode of the Design Your Success podcast. And today is a very special day because I have a very special guest. At least she's very special to me. And I really want to warmly welcome Mary Jane Roy. Hi, Mary Jane.
Hi, Nicolene. Thank you for that wonderfully warm greeting, introduction. I'm happy to be here too, and really happy that I reached out to you to say, hey, you've got a podcast.
Yes.
Can I be on it?
Yes, absolutely. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it when nice people do here. That. Excellent. So would you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Okay, so what I kind of came up with some words, phrases that should say something about who I am. And if I go back at the age of 52, so early in my third quarter, I'm further along in that quarter now, but breast cancer survivor, lifelong learner, DEI advocate in all its facets, but especially around breaking the stereotypical thinking on ageism. I really do have a passion about that. Board member of PWN, the Netherlands, the Professional Women's Network, for a number of years. Co-author, founder of the newly renamed In Leadership Foundation. And we can maybe tap into that for a bit. Owner of Creating Waves since 2011. And my focus with Creating Waves is stress hardiness, resilience, emotional agility. These are the things that I really love to facilitate, to share what my expertise that I've developed over the years. So that's sort of me in a nutshell, and and describes the journey from age 52 to currently, this year I'll be turning 69. So the last, 17 years 17. Or so? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. I love all the things that you do because it's so, in a way, it's very diverse, and in a way it's not, because it has a huge overarching theme, which is connecting people to their core and connecting people to their hearts.
Yes.
And helping them to thrive, basically.
That's really what it is. In fact, if you look on LinkedIn with my profile, you know, it is about thriving people and thriving workplaces, and the heart connection is definitely there. My hashtag is living from my heart. So you want to see what I post, that's the hashtag to look for, kind of things, at least on LinkedIn.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love it. So, and the nice thing is, when I ask people to introduce themselves, it would be like a guessing game, especially when we look at the human design element. So could you guess the human design of my guest? And in your case, it's no guessing, because you're so multi-passionate and multi-talented. So you must be a manifesting generator. And
you know I am. You know I am. That's right. Yeah.
That's so lovely. We're going to talk about that in a minute.
We're going to talk about that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. But tell us first, how did you become an entrepreneur?
Well, I started my career as a registered nurse, and also went into the military, Canadian Armed Forces, as a nursing officer. And that lasted about not quite 10 years. And then really, I've been an entrepreneur or independent pretty much for the rest of my career till this point. And together with my husband for the first 30 years or so as consultants in the fitness branch. And then on my own, since I mentioned 2011, when I started Creating Waves. And I made this switch to my own business primarily, Nicolene, after some heart health issues. So again, the heart comes back into, and by the way, when I was nursing in the military, I did a specialty training in cardiovascular diagnostics, which was really just on the cusp at that time. So the heart has played a pretty big role, I think, in my life. It plays a big role in all of our lives, let's face it. But I really took, you know, when these heart health issues started coming up, and I knew, I really knew that there was a lot of stress-related cause to these problems. I hadn't dealt and wasn't dealing with stress in a healthy way at all. And so I did a deep dive. You know, I thought, I wanted to know, what does stress do to us physiologically? I think a lot of that had to do with my nursing background as well, to get a grasp on it. What can we do to develop healthy strategies to effectively mitigate the stress? We can't avoid it. We're going to have stress in our lives, but how can we mitigate the effects of it? And so that's really where I started focusing in this direction. And then after a few years and I'd done various certifications only for myself, never thought that I would become a trainer, facilitator, consultant in these areas at all. It was really strictly for my own. But I kind of had this aha moment and realizing that I had developed this really deep expertise for myself, but there were a lot of people out there and a lot of pain in the workplace. And so I thought, okay, maybe I can start a business where I can actually coach people. And so I did, that was the start was, I thought I'm going to be a coach, a one-on-one coach, but again, quickly realized that I was not going to make a real change for a large number of people if I stayed one-on-one coaching. And luckily I got my foot in the door in corporate. And from that moment on, it really, that was the direction I took. So I don't know if that gives it an adequate background, but that was really my motivation. It was, I developed all this knowledge, why not put it to use?
Yeah. It's so wonderful, because what you just described is the best strategy for a manifesting generator. You waited to respond. So you responded to things that happened in life, in business, and you just went with it. And I think that is one of the greatest examples that we can share, especially for generators and manifesting generators, because many people are like, oh, I need to wait to respond. How do I do that? Well, this is how you do it.
Yeah. No, you're right. And I think it's one of the things that I've learned from you and that allows me the time to think things through as well, you know, not act impulsively. And I think that's part of the manifesting generator design as well.
You know, most manifesting generators are really quick and they are somewhat impatient, and they can be really quick in to move, but in order to do so, they can skip some steps in the middle. And that can be tough for a manifesting generator. So if you're listening and you're a manifesting generator, perhaps you can relate to this, because that is very often the case for manifesting generators. And then the challenge, of course, and the I would say the invitation is to take a step back and to be patient and inform before initiate, because that's another element of the strategy for a manifesting generator. But I love the journey that you just described. And I think it's really powerful, because what you did, you, especially the decision that you took, like, okay, when I work one-on-one, I cannot reach that many people, but when I go to corporate, I can reach more people, and especially where they are, meet them where they are, especially in the workplace where they feel stressed
or overwhelmed. Yeah.
Overwhelmed, or perhaps even close to burnout, and I know the work that you do for corporate. I think it's incredible that you took that decision to go from one-on-one work to groups in corporate.
And it was a a well thought out and well planned decision, I have to admit. And I think part of this might be because I was doing it at a later phase in my life. It was in my 50s, so that you know, that this wasn't a youthful impulsive thing. I was terrified of public speaking, of speaking in front of groups. I mean, absolutely terrified. And I really had to, the old adage, practice makes perfect. And that's what I did. I hired myself out in the beginning for free to give presentations and talks to groups, women's networks, it didn't matter. And just got over, you know, stress and repetition will do eventually, will calm those nerves. And I got to the point where the largest group that I've spoken to, Nicolene, has been over 800 people.
Oh, in the wow. Room.
Yeah, yeah. So it really, that was a journey in and of itself.
Yeah. I think this is great, because that's one of the other questions that I always ask people, like, you know, what are the hurdles that you encountered on your journey? And this is definitely one of them. And I think this is a great example of, you can learn and overcome the fear of public speaking, and you can definitely learn by just doing it. And I know that the story, how you started the public speaking, and I think it's so great, because it's such a wonderful example for people who are like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. Well, you can.
And I must say that in the beginning, I think for at least a year, maybe it was longer, but I also joined Toastmasters, which wasn't all that well known yet in the Netherlands, but I knew of it from North America, and that really also helped, because they're great at putting you in front of a group, and you have to speak, and you have to memorize what you're saying. You're not just talking off the cuff; you are preparing a speech that you're giving each time. So that was also a really good exercise for me.
I can imagine. I had the pleasure of joining a Toastmasters meeting just recently. Mm-hmm. And it was just wonderful, because you have to speak, and you have to prepare something, and there is an improv element to it too, when there is a round of, okay, I'll give you a topic and now you're going to talk. And then you're like, oh, what am I going to say? But it's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good experience for sure. Yeah. It helped, I think, bridge that initial fear to get me out on my own and speaking.
So this was one of the hurdles. What other hurdles did you encounter on your entrepreneurial journey?
I think one that comes to mind is the moment where I was working. How do I say it? I closed Creating Waves down and started a new company with a colleague. And in 2018, we were 5 years of working together, and we'd had a really good working relationship. But in that last year, I had the feeling, and it turned out she did too, that we were heading in different directions. But it was really a difficult topic to bring up, to speak about. So we made the decision, okay, that June of 2018, we were going to meet for lunch, and we were going to come to the table each with a proposal of how we saw the future. And we had exactly the same feeling, you know, wind down the company by the end of the year and both go our separate ways. So what had the potential for a real conflict became so much easier just by that open dialogue. So, but it was leading up to that was a lot of thinking, and, you know, how do I do this, and how do we do this in a friendly way? Because again, if her needs had been different from mine, you know, what would have been the ramifications for our friendship, you know, the relationship that we'd built up in that 5 years? So that was one. And then COVID, Nicolene, we've talked about this before, but that first, I just in 2019 started Creating Waves back up again, relaunched it, and was really just starting to get my foot back in the door. And then, of course, March 2020, and until September of that year, I didn't earn a penny. You know, there wasn't one red cent that came in. And you start to really doubt yourself. You know, that was, I think, a really critical moment.
Yeah.
I must say that I did kind of do one of these, and I'm raising my hands to the universe, and, you know, give me a sign that you know, what I do is needed, is necessary. And honestly, within, I'll say 48 hours, but I think it was even the next day that a phone call came in and someone said, I have a client and they want somebody to do an online masterclass on stress and resilience. Would you be willing? And I said, of course. And that started the ball rolling again. It was just like, it was the universe answered, let me put it that way. Those were tough months. I mean, I used them well. And again, I'm not somebody to stand still. So of course we were all scrambling to learn the online tools, how to present online, make it engaging for people.
Yeah.
And I had set up three or four, I was involved, three different support groups, the business chat, which you've been part of, and another support group with a group of trainers. And then a smaller one was sort of a mastermind brainstorming group as well. Those people and what I learned and gave back also in those groups, that really helped to sustain me in that period. But it was tough.
Yeah.
It was tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I can so relate to that, because 2020 was really tough for me too, in that sense. And I think for many, many people. And it's so hard that in the moment you're not going to share, like, oh, I don't earn a penny. You're not going to share that, right? Of course.
So within those circles, you know,
yeah.
I could within. So that helped as well. And then, of course, you also hear of others who, I mean, they were, business was booming for them, other trainers. So not everybody was hurting as badly, but there was enough of, you know, equal sharing that you knew that you weren't the only one out there struggling.
Yeah. And that always helps. And that's why I really love investing. And that's something I learned over the years, to really invest in my network. So
yes.
You have people that you can call when things don't go that well, or when you are in that situation of self-doubt, or where you're like, oh my God, I'm going to find a job. I need to find a job.
Mm-hmm.
But then you still know that you have a bigger thing to do here on this planet. And there's no way you're going to find a job because you have another mission. But still, it's really good to have those people around you that you can tap into, and you can ask for advice and share the pain in the moment, because
yeah.
I'm always a huge fan, and you know this, of, you know, sharing from the scar and not from the wound. But when you're in the middle of it and it's really hard, then you're like, who am I talking to? Because I am stressed, I am overwhelmed, I am in self-doubt, how am I going to manage this? So we all need those wonderful people around
yeah.
us. And I think the PWN network, first of all, is a great network. And I love the business chat that you always host every first Tuesday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
It's an online group. People from other countries are joining. And it's always such a wonderful group of business friends, always so supportive.
And it's free. It's free to join.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah,
so
I
good.
Do too. I do
it's
too.
So good, because it's a group of business friends who come together and who are so willing to share experience and give each other advice. And that's always very useful.
Yeah. And you never have that feeling of competition.
No.
It's a really a sharing of expertise, of experiences. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that little plug. I enjoy doing those business chats.
Yeah, and it's so good. It's really so good. And I think for every business owner every business owner who's listening right now and you don't really have a network, invest in your network. Make sure you have those people around you because you need them. And I learned the hard way. I even went back to a corporate job because I didn't have my network around
me. That's right. Yeah.
I even went back to a corporate job only to find out within 4 or 5 weeks that I made a mistake. But that's another story.
That's okay. That's resilience. You bounced forward exactly. After that as well.
So. There are no mistakes, just lessons to be learned. Yeah. So that was the good thing. So speaking of, let's look at the flip side of the failures and the mistakes. Let's talk about success. When you would define success, how would you define success?
You know that it was when I saw this question, you had sent them ahead of time, the questions. And when I saw it, I immediately thought, success for me is the joy I receive and feel when I know that I've touched people's hearts, you know, that I can motivate them even to make like one small change in their lives. When someone comes up to me weeks, months, even a year or more afterwards and says, you know, what you shared that day has really made a difference. And so it has supported them in some way. So it's really about doing the things that make my heart sing. I mean, I can't get away from it. And there was a quote that I came across from Petra Fisher, and I thought, oh, I'm going to copy this and I'm going to read it to you. Success isn't about how much money you make. It's about the difference you make in people's lives, from Michelle Obama. And I thought, yeah, that's it. I do like to make money. I love making money, but it really is about making that difference. So that to me would be my definition of success.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. And it's so special because I ask this question to every guest on the podcast and I have had many interviews already. Mm-hmm. Not one of the guests so far has spoken about money, numbers, status, anything. Everyone has their own beautiful definition and you just added another one. And I think this is the best thing to do to know that you touched someone else's heart and that you made a difference. Uh-huh. And I think this is exactly what generators and manifesting generators are supposed to do, because we are here to get satisfaction and the satisfaction of fulfilling our purpose, of doing the things that we love and doing the things that light us up. I think that's the most important for generators and manifesting generators. So success as in, you know, making money and reaching certain goals and numbers, that's great, but it's a byproduct. It's a byproduct of the joy and the satisfaction that we get when we do the things that we love.
I'm really pleased to hear that not one person has deviated, you know, and gone into the money aspect, success, yeah, status kind of approach, you know. That's really great, Nicolene.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, so yeah. I know when I talk to people who give me that definition, another definition than money or numbers or, you know, status, anything, that I'm really talking to the right people.
Yes. Sure.
I love that. Right. So speaking about human design, you know your human design, you're a manifesting generator. Do you use it in your business? And if so, how do you use it?
Yeah, you know, I had to give this some real thought because I haven't done a real deep dive into what the manifesting generator is. Bits and pieces that you've given me as advice and things that you've shared with me. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest thing that this has meant for me is that I know it's okay to have different interests, and in fact that I thrive on that. Until I knew this about myself, I thought I was too scattered, needed to find my niche. I don't have a niche, you know. I love I've got a lot of different passions and a lot of different areas that I just really enjoy doing. As I said, things that make my heart sing.
Yeah. I think this is one of the most crucial things that manifesting generators need to know, that they are multi-passionate and they're multi-talented. So it's not that they have many interests, is that they are really good at all these different interests as well. So, and especially in the business world, in the online business world, people are always telling you like, oh, you should choose just one thing. But that's the worst advice a manifesting generator can get. Because if a manifesting generator would be focusing on just one thing, he or she would be getting really bored. And it's not the best thing, because you need all the different elements. You need all the side projects, between air quotes, in order to burn off the energy and in order to get inspired to do all the other stuff. And one of my clients, when I did a human design reading with her, and of course you're willing to do that or welcome to do that with me too, Mary Jane, so I can give you some more input, what she said when I told her this about being a manifesting generator and about pursuing all the different things that she loved doing, she was crying. And she said, you just gave me permission to be myself, because all my life I have heard from the people around me, oh, just stick with one thing, choose one thing, stick with one thing. You're always hopping from one thing to the next. And she was like, I finally feel the permission to be me. And that was a big thing, I think.
I think it's a really great illustration, Nicolene, about how you don't realize the impact that something like that can have on a person. And I don't think, because this came about in the last, 10 years, that I'm really starting to discover who I am and what I need and want in life. This has been an impactful eye opener for me in this later stage, because I thought, maybe I'm spreading myself too thin. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm doing too much. And I know there comes a point, and I do know where my boundaries are, for taking on too much. Yeah. But you're right, it does inspire, it does the creativity that comes from having these different interests. Everything thrives as a result of it,
Absolutely. And as long as you know the overarching theme for all these different elements that you love doing, then you're absolutely fine. One of my clients is a vocal coach. So she's a vocal coach. She performs, so she sings on stage. She does speaker coaching, and she's a Pilates teacher. Before we started working together, she was communicating all these various things, and people were like, what are you? Are you a singer? Are you a Pilates teacher? Are you a vocal coach? What do you do? What is it that you do? Because we get so many mixed messages. But then we found her overarching theme when we started working together. And the overarching theme was to feel confident and free on a stage. And that, because she used everything. So she used her experience as a singer, taking your stage, knowing what it's like to be performing in front of an audience, knowing how to sing. So vocal coaching, speaker coaching, interacting with the audience and taking your stage, and Pilates for posture, for breathing, for everything that has to do with how you use your body to present yourself. And then when we had the overarching theme, she was like, oh my goodness, this is exactly what I do. And as long as you know that and communicate that overarching theme, you're very welcome to do all these different things.
Exactly. And I think that's what I have found. You've really raised an interesting point, because with this theme for me of thriving people in thriving workspaces, if I look at everything that I do, it is in regards, it's feeding into that overarching theme.
Yeah, That's yeah. what you do. That's what you do. That should be like your tagline. Your tagline is thriving people in thriving workplaces. That's what yeah. you do. And there are yeah. so many ways to get there. And you have like a toolbox that you use, like, oh, you want to talk about resilience? Great. You want to talk about sleep? Great. Let's talk about that. Let's mm-hmm. talk about diversity. Great. Let's talk about inclusion. Wonderful.
They all feed in, don't they?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's yeah. what you do. So I think that's a really important lesson for manifesting generators, that they find the overarching theme and start communicating that, and not choose just one thing, because, well, I don't want to be dramatic, but I would say you're going to die if you only focus on one thing, because that's not you. You yeah. need the diversity. So,
yeah. No, yeah. And that was significant for me to learn that.
I can imagine.
Yeah, yeah, that was very much.
Yeah, that happens a lot for manifesting generators. It's like, you know, you get a permission slip. Oh, okay. It's fine to be you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly that. Yeah. So yeah. before we wrap up this conversation, what I would love to hear from you is your top three advice, your best lessons that you learned that you want to share with the audience.
Yeah, the top three. So I think one would be that when you're faced with challenges, look for the opportunities that challenge is offering, all right? That was something that I think really helped me. I have what I call a learned optimist. I can say that for the first 50 plus years of my life, I was not an optimist. I was a great massive creator of fiction for the future. So that's one thing that I really, I started to, that language that I would use with myself. And the other thing is that when you recognize that your thoughts are not supporting you, that ask yourself this question, you know, is this thought serving me? Is it supporting me? And if it's not, and I just want to throw in here, Nicolene, that most of what we worry about doesn't take place. The most definitive research that I can find on it, and there's not a lot, but is anywhere from 85 to 93% of what we worry about doesn't come to pass. So yeah, so it's a lot of wasted energy. And again, in stopping and asking yourself that question, you know, is this thought serving me? No, it's not. Well, what would? And again, if you ask a question of your brain, your subconscious is going to be working to find an answer, and just listen to it when it does materialize, and it'll put you on probably a path that's going to serve you better. All right. And then I think to practice self-care would be number three. Who's number one in your life? You know, I've had people cry when I ask them, you know, who are the top three people, most important people in your life? And I give them a minute to reflect on it. And then I'll say, put up your hands if you're on that list. And most often they're not on that list. Maybe 3 to 5% of the people will put their hands up. And those are the ones who've done some self-development work. Huh? Yeah. So the question that I was given to me as a gift after my diagnosis of breast cancer, or just prior, sorry, it was just prior to my diagnosis. The instructor, I was on a stress counselor course, and he saw through the week that I was a people pleaser. He saw very definitely that I was a huge people pleaser. And he gave me these five words: what do I need now? What do I need now? So you can put the emphasis on each of those five words. And again, ask a question, your brain's going to respond, and just listen to it. So if it tells you to stay home and curl up on the couch and read a book, give yourself that gift and change your plans. Yeah, those are the three things. So challenges, look for the opportunities. stop the negative spiral of thinking, literally by saying, stop, is this thought serving me? And what do I need now? So those would be my three.
I love them. I love them all. I think they are so powerful. And, you know, I didn't know the percentage of what you just said, the 85 between 85 and 93. I'm like, what? It's crazy. I know that, you know, I've always known that the things we worry about are not likely to happen, but I never knew the percentage. And I always love facts. That's the one in my profile, in my human design profile. I like facts. I love facts. I love information and knowledge. So that's just wonderful.
Well, you have a look in my profile because I think I must have that number one as well.
Yes. Yeah. I will definitely have a look.
I love facts and I love knowledge, you know?
Yeah, I will definitely have a look. And I'll look it up. I should have done that, of course, for preparation. But the nice thing is you're in my list, my people list. So I'm going to have a look at it right now while we're on the call. So where are you? No, you have a 3-5 profile.
Okay.
So you have a 3-5 profile. So we have the three in common, which is all about testing, experimenting, trying, and failing, getting back up again, and tweaking, and all of that. So we have the three very much in common.
But I do have, I remember you telling me that I do have an open.
Yes.
Open head.
Yes.
That didn't sound right, but it, yeah.
Yeah, but that's what it's called. Sorry. Yeah, you do have an open head center. And that's the other thing about the people-pleasing thing that you just shared, that you have an open heart center. And many people with an open heart center, they are people pleasers because they are very sensitive to what other people are feeling. And especially in your case, with an open solar plexus, which is all about our emotions. So we can pick up what other people are feeling. And when you feel that they are not particularly pleased or happy, then you're going to work harder to please them. So that's...
And it is... such an energy drainer.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely is. Yeah. But to wrap up the conversation, I loved the phrase, what do I need now? And then changing the emphasis every time. So asking yourself basically five questions, like, what do I need now? 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 And what do I need now? I love those questions because I think they are so powerful and they will always give a great answer.
They will. You just need to be open to listen to it.
Exactly.
And act on it. And
act on it. Yeah. Because knowing isn't doing. That's what I've learned. Excellent. Thank you so much, Mary Jane, for your wonderful nuggets of wisdom. And I always love talking to you, and I'm going to share all your details in the show notes so people can contact you, and they should, because you're amazing at what you do.
Thank you, Nicolene.
Yes,
from my heart to yours. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for listening to this episode. I look forward to hearing your thoughts, so please let us know and subscribe so you will never miss the next episode.